This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for coming back with us on The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng, together with Wong Xiaoning and Sharis Abdullah. And we're looking into some international news. And the focus today is actually on the bad boys of politics and tech companies, big tech.
So it's a bad boy series.
Exactly.
Is it really a tech company to begin with?
That's a good question.
Because, okay, thanks.
Because WeWork, we're talking about WeWork, right? Adam Neumann, the very controversial CEO of WeWork, is stepping down.
Yeah, that's right. He's been pushed out from his post after investors lost faith in him. And this is after their very icy response to the company's proposed IPO listing, which was subsequently postponed. And it looks like the WeWork board has approved the changes to management on Tuesday.
Yeah, Finance Chief Artie Minson and WeWork Vice Chair Sebastian Gunningham will take over as co-chief executives. Now, then what happens to Mr. Neumann? Neumann becomes a non-executive chairman. He also agreed to seek control of the company as he will no longer hold a majority of voting rights in the group. His special voting rights will be cut down 3 times the power compared to 20 times at present.
Yeah, the IPO that was issued to investors, the IPO prospectus was fraught with problems. And some of them are namely Mr. Neumann's conflicts of interest because he rented his own private company, private property to WeWork. He also is cashing out to the tune of $700 million. And what else? He had outsized voting powers. And the biggest investor in WeWork, which is SoftBank, has put a lot of their fortunes on WeWork. Their fortunes really teetered on the success of whether Mr. Neumann would be able to carry out his duties in WeWork.
I think just to add to that, it's also using phrases like elevate world's consciousness, which is something that I think SoftBank has been trying to do away with, but to no avail, because apparently Adam Neumann is a very stubborn person.
Yeah, we see all these type A alpha personalities in big tech. For example, we saw that in Travis Kalanick, the other CEO of Uber, who had to resign as well because of sexual harassment cases and the kind of culture that he created in Uber. In the very early days, Google's top hit honchos had to be supervised by an adult in the form of Eric Schmidt. So Schmidt entered Google as chairman, and now he's left. So they no longer need that adult supervision. Elon Musk also known to be quite insane about his work ethics, right?
Well, do you need an alpha male kind of personality to drive a new company? And maybe you do, right? Because you need that sheer focus, that sheer determination that no matter what it takes, I'm going to make this company successful. I think for sure, I think behind any big tech company is a bit of a personality like that. But where do you draw the line?
Yeah, but you draw the line between running a big organization and adulting, right? Now, the other bad boy is, of course, Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi apparently has garnered enough numbers to begin impeachment proceedings on Donald Trump.
Yeah, so this is with regards to him apparently violating his oath of office and obligations under the Constitution. First of its kind since the chamber impeached Bill Clinton back in 1998. So this move is in response to President Trump, who has tried to pressure his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, to investigate the business dealing of Joe Biden, who is going to be, one of the front runners for the Democratic election.
Yeah, this is essentially allegations that President Trump tried to interfere in the 2020 elections. And these concerns were raised by a whistleblower who submitted a complaint to the U.S. intelligence community. So Mr. Trump has been accused of trying to use military aid as a leverage by freezing $250 million worth of aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, and he was pressuring the Ukrainian government to investigate Joe Biden's son. And of course, what's significant is that Joe Biden is going to be is one of the most popular Democratic candidates that would challenge President Trump if he's indeed nominated. The Democrats had to narrow the field quite substantially from their 30 or 40 or so potential candidates. Now, it's down to about three who have got above 20% of popularity in the polling. Is Biden at the top? Then comes Elizabeth Warren, and then comes Bernie Sanders, right? So if Trump is successful in pressuring that investigation in Ukraine against Biden's son, then he is as good as sort of eliminating an opponent, right, during the U.S. presidential election. But then he would have to face Warren, whom I think is going to be a more formidable opponent than Trump. Than Biden.
Okay, we clearly know who's Julian's favorite now.
I was rooting for Sanders, but Warren is also good for me.
But what is interesting is this change of tack with Nancy Pelosi, because previously she had been very resistant, right, towards any measures to impeach Trump, saying that it would distract from the presidential election or the Democratic process, right, in terms of the 2020 elections. But I think this time it's a little bit too hard to ignore.
Well, now I think Trump is saying that she is the one distracting the whole thing that is going on in the U.S. They're very busy in the U.S., especially with the United Nations General Assembly that is happening there, and slamming this, unforeseen move of witch hunting by the Democrats in a tweet.
Yep. All right. Moving on to the other bad boy, and of course, with global implications as well. Of course, the just staying on Trump for a bit more, the implications of this impeachment would be very wide. As we know now, Trump is the prime mover of this trade war with China, right? So the fact that he's going to be, let's say, the impeachment proceedings will begin, whether this will dial down some of the rhetoric from the trade talks, and whether markets would be cheered by that. Economies around the world would start growing because of this impeachment process. Global GDP growth from the impeachment process.
I don't know about that, but markets also don't like any uncertainty, you see. So if this impeachment kind of drags on, and they don't know whether this will result in him, because it's a long-drawn process, let's get this right. Impeachment is not going to happen overnight. And it doesn't mean that President Trump will have to leave the White House immediately, because it does mean there will be more due process going forward. Yeah. But markets don't like this kind of thing. So every time, there's any noise of it, you see, like last night, the Dow closed negative.
Yeah, but for an example, if the impeachment were to continue, take one candidate, Elizabeth Warren, her stance over China are not that, I guess, different in comparison to Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's the leverage. Right? Right now, Donald Trump has created the unlikely benefit of leverage for the United States. And I don't think the Democrats themselves want to dial that down in a hurry. Yeah, so we shall see on that. But on to the UK, Boris Johnson as good as did something that is unlawful by trying to suspend precedent. And this was decided by the UK's highest court over there.
Yeah, this Supreme Court President Lady Hill said that the decision prevented the ability of the Parliament to carry out its constitutional functions without reasonable justification. So MPs will now be able to return to Westminster today to resume their parliamentary sitting.
Meanwhile, speaking from New York, where he's attending the UN General Assembly, Boris Johnson said that his government would respect the court's decision, even though he strongly disagreed with it. And of course, he's had to cut short his New York trip and is rushing back to Parliament for Wednesday's sitting.
Yeah, so I think, again, this is something that has got wide-ranging implications, because this would mean that the risk of Boris Johnson's brand of hard Brexit would be higher and higher. It would be quite hard to pass that through. And it would also give ammunition to the guys at EU who really want to see, in the words of the Wall Street Journal, right, this people against the establishment concept, right, to spread through society so that the idea of a hard Brexit will break down.
Yeah, so even internally, I mean, the move to minimize the opportunity to block a no-deal Brexit is ongoing. If you look at his party itself, they've lost its governing majority in the parliament, and many of his own party members have rebelled against him. More than 20 were expelled from the party, and we've also seen some of the members jump ships to the rival parties.
But what is amazing is the state of flux that the UK politics is involved in, because even before the suspension, right, Parliament already passed a law demanding that the Prime Minister request an extension to Article 50 exit process if the deal was not agreed upon. And of course, Boris Johnson vowed that he would not seek an extension. So the only option for him then was to strike a deal with Brussels when he meets EU leaders in mid-October. But of course, we know that the two sides are so far apart, it's almost impossible to think that a deal can be struck within 37 days. And now with this, there's a lot of talk that, you know, he should resign. Can you imagine the leader of a country doing something illegal and then still remaining in power? So you can imagine, I think most of the newspapers in UK, their editorial have already come out and say, no, he should leave. You know?
We're quite familiar with that right here in Malaysia.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.